Will you please pray with me? O Lord, our rock, may my words be glorifying to you, and the thoughts and intentions of our hearts bring you praise. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. My dad grew up in the hills of Ohio. About an hour north of the city, Columbus, there's rolling hills full of Amish and Mennonite and strip mines. And he goes up there, and he goes down there, I guess, from Michigan. But that's where he goes, and he goes mushroom hunting, and he visits his family. And he's told me that if you're not careful, you can get turned around really quickly back in them thar hills. In fact, my uncle once went out mushroom hunting, and he was just walking up and down and around and up and down and around, and the next thing he knew, he was 7 miles away from where he was supposed to be. And so he walked over, and this is before cell phones, he walked and he walked until he found a road, and then he walked some more until he found a house, and then he begged for a phone to call and get a ride home. Now, you may not go mushroom hunting in the hills of Ohio, but you probably have been lost once or twice and understand what that feeling can be. Right? Okay, just making sure. Because in a land before GPS, we all had to drive somewhere, right? And when we're lost, we don't know where we're going, and we don't know if we're going the right direction until we get somewhere. And sometimes our weeks and our days can feel like that. We're stuck in the middle of nowhere, there's nothing but one-way streets, and we don't know which way will get us back to the way we wanted to go. There's a hill here and a hill here and a valley that way, and we don't know which direction we came from. And so we need some tools. We need some signs to help give us some direction. And life feels like that. We find ourselves in circumstances where angry people walk into places of worship and gun down people who are trying to connect with God. And we wonder, where are we supposed to go? Who are we supposed to be? We think about this person who we would love to connect with this person, but they'll never talk to each other because they had a falling out somewhere along the line. And we wonder, how does God call us into this relationship? Many of you were alive at a time when our country was at war and there was a decision to make. Flee the country or get drafted, right? Now, I know those weren't the only options, but those seemed to be the two most popular ones. What do you do? How do you serve God in those circumstances? Well, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about what does it mean to discern the will of God? What does it mean for God's will on our lives? And we think about that, and it's good, and it's all fine and dandy when it's up here in the world of ideas. But when it hits the road, we need to ask, how do we discern the will of God? How do we figure out what God is calling us to do? Or who God is calling us to be in this world? Because we, as Christians, we believe that God calls to us and speaks to us and gives us guidance, right? And so it's up to us to figure that out. It's up to us to figure how is God calling us, who is God calling us, where is God calling us? If we're to be the church, if we are to be the body of Christ in this world. And we have desires and we have wills, right? No one is more willful than a 2-year-old who is establishing their boundaries or testing yours. And some of us never grow out of that, right? We continue to test boundaries and assert our own. And sometimes when we're seeking the will of God, when we're trying to discern what is God calling me to be, what does God want me to do with myself in this stage of my life, or in these circumstances, sometimes our will comes with us. And if we're going to really truly discern the will of God, we have to ask ourselves two questions. And they're very uncomfortable. And I would ask you to write them down, but because they're uncomfortable, you probably won't. And the first question is this: am I trying to discern God's will so that God will rubber stamp my own? Is it really mine, or is it God's? Do I really want that car, and I want God to tell me to go and buy that car because God will take care of me in the midst of that? Or is God really calling me to get that car? Do you hear the difference? Do I really need that new set of golf clubs? And I think God is calling me to get that new set of golf clubs so I can go do ministry on the golf course. And so, God, I will do whatever you want as long as you give me these golf clubs, because that's your will for me, right? That I go do ministry. Are we discerning? Are we trying to figure out what God is calling us to do because we think God actually might be calling us to something? Or do we want a divine rubber stamp on our own selfish scheme? That's a hard question, isn't it? Whose will, mine or God's? Do you want a harder question? That might be even more uncomfortable, but it's one we have to ask anyway. The other question is this: when I do hear from God, do I have the courage to do what God has asked me to do? There are several stories in the Bible that we could point to. I'll point out to three of them because they're really famous ones, and you might have actually heard of a couple of them. The first is the man Abraham, who was named Abram at this time. God promised that he would be the father of many, many nations. He would have more descendants than sand on the seashore. If you bend at the beach, that's a lot of sand, right? But when he got impatient with God, he decided, you know, God's not doing what I think God wanted God to do, so I'm not going to wait anymore. And he had a child with someone else, not his wife. He took a servant for a wife and had a child with her. And that was not the child of promise. Another person that you might be more familiar with, because he's a whole lot more famous than Abraham, his name was Moses. And he heard what God wanted him to do, because he went aside and checked out this burning bush that wasn't being consumed by the fire. And God said, take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. And this, by the way, Moses, what I want you to do is go back to Egypt, because I want you to lead your people, my people, out of slavery and into the promised land. And do you remember what Moses said? Nope. Moses discerned the will of God, heard the voice of God, and said, nope, send somebody else. I am not a person who's good at talking to people. Also, I'm kind of wanted for murder there. And the most famous of all of the stories of people who heard God's call and turned and ran the other way because they didn't have the courage to do what God had asked them to do was Jonah, right? Jonah was, there's a story in the Bible about a man named Jonah who God says, go to Nineveh. So go to the people who are enemies of the Hebrews and preach. And you know what Jonah did? Jonah got on a boat and went the other direction. And then he was mad eventually when God did have mercy on Nineveh, but that's not part of his story. Or not part of my illustration anyway. Do we have the courage to do what God is calling us to do when we hear what God is calling us to do? These two questions are very troublesome when it comes to the will of God. First of all, is it really God's will I'm seeking, or do I just want God to approve my own? And then when I do hear God's will, do I have the courage to actually go and do and be the sort of person that God is calling me to go and be where God is calling me to? These are difficult questions, right? And yet we must wrestle with them. Because if we are to be honest with ourselves and with God, we must wrestle with them so that we can be the body of Christ for whom God has called into this world. And in the circumstances we find ourselves in a nation that is so polarized with hatred that we can't even talk to each other without being civil or without being uncivil. We can't have a civil conversation where our first response is violence rather than peace. Where the rich and the poor are so in different worlds they can't even conceive of life like the other person. We find ourselves in circumstances and we need to figure out who is God calling us to be. That's part of why on November 10th we're going to have the point of view experience. We as the church need to be able to have a conversation. If nobody else in this world can have a conversation, it better be the church. And we don't have to agree, but we have to say that God loves the other person, even though we may disagree with each other on whatever point of issue we may find. But how do we discern our next steps forward? We're lost in the woods. We're lost in the hills. We're lost in downtown Ann Arbor where all the streets are one way. I keep using that example because that is the most annoying experience of being lost in my life. We need to discern where God is leading us. And some of the tools we have, well, all of the tools we have, God has given us. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter tells the people he's writing to, God has given you everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of Jesus. Everything we need, God has already given us to discern the will of God, to figure out where we need to go, to figure out who we need to be. And you know what? There's two of them that we really need, and I'm going to call them our internal compass. One of them is our Jiminy Cricket, our little shoulder angel, our conscience, right? Some of us haven't quite quieted that conscience, and it's still a voice in our heads that says, you know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. If it feels wrong, it probably is. You know, you probably shouldn't be doing that. We have this voice, right? This conscience that God has given us. Some people say that's how the Holy Spirit speaks wisdom to us and says, it's the alarm bell going off. Our conscience can guide us sometimes. But if you're a little dull like me, you might not hear the conscience very well. So God has given us another tool, and it's great, and it's called common sense. Right? Common sense goes right along with conscience, and you can throw your reason and your intellect in there with common sense. This just doesn't work logically. Oh, why would God call me to go and do that thing that God has prohibited in the Ten Commandments? I don't think that works that way. Why has God told me to treat this person poorly? Oh, God hasn't. That's me. God has told me to sell all that I have, give the money to the poor, and become a homeless vagabond following Jesus. Oh, we've heard that. Jesus actually said that to a rich guy. And he went away sad because he was a very wealthy man and didn't want to sell all his stuff. Logic and conscience and common sense all are wrapped up together in these things God has given us called a mind. And they are tremendous tools, but they are not the only tools, right? Because if you've lived for very long, you realize that common sense ain't so common. And so God has given us these external tools also to work with in discerning what God might be calling us to do or who God might be calling us to be. And one of those is the people around you, your friends, your family, people who love you and you love them. The ones who will speak truth to you and say, no, that dress does not look good on you. People who speak truth to you and say, you know, you're a good cook most of the time. Tonight was not one of those examples. That car you want, you can't afford it. That house you want to live in, it's too much house for you. And these are the people who know us and love us best, right? And we can hear those sort of things from them because we know that they love us. And they want what's best for us. But even sometimes those voices go unheard because, oh, well, they're just, they don't really know me. And so we have to look even further outside our circle of relationships, and we pay a counselor or a therapist, a stranger, to speak the sort of stuff to us that our loved ones have been saying for years, but we just haven't heard. We need someone outside of that circle to speak truth to us who is objective. You know, you think you want to do this thing, but what I'm hearing is you're trying to make your dad proud. You know, you think this is where God is calling you to do, but I think that that's more has to do with you than it does with what God might be saying to you. Counselors and therapists speak these words to us, and sometimes our lights go on, our eyes are opened, right? These are our life coaches. The people who, when you have a poor golf swing, can give you pointers on your golf swing so you can actually hit the ball, let alone get it where you want it to go. God has given us these beautiful, wonderful relationships so that when we think God is saying something to us, we can bounce it off of people, right? We do this. Please tell me you do this. Okay, I was starting to wonder because I felt like I lost y'all. We have relationships with people. Internal is our conscience and our common sense and our reasoning ability. External, we have these relationships. But you know what? That's not it either. There are even more tools available to us. Do you know just about a mile that way is a building full of books? It's called a library. And each of those books in there is another tool to help us figure out what God might be calling us to do or who God might be calling us to be. Because here's a news flash. You're probably not the first person to have the problem that you're dealing with. There are biographies and stories of people and conflict and wrestling with how they live in a world where the world just doesn't make sense, and they've made decisions and choices and had insights, and we might learn from them. What a concept, right? I might not be the first person to wrestle with where is God calling me to spend my time? The only truly limited resource I have. And even further beyond that, we have a church with traditions that values tradition and connects all of our church traditions together. I might not be the first person to wrestle with what is the will of God and what does it mean. I can learn from other people and pick and discern through their thoughts. And so can you. Not only do we have friends and relationships of people that we can talk to, but there are people whom we will never meet that can guide us and strengthen us and encourage us. C.S. Lewis, who is famous for his stories called the Chronicles of Narnia. He's famous for other things too, but you probably have heard of those. The most influential person in C.S. Lewis's life, as far as his faith goes, was a man named George MacDonald, who was an author from Scotland and a pastor who never met C.S. Lewis. Lewis read his stories and came to know God through those stories. There may be someone from antiquity like that for you, who can guide you and strengthen you and give you wisdom. And then there's the last tool. When you're lost, what's the first thing you're supposed to do? What is the very first thing you're supposed to do? Stop moving. And this is key in so many ways. Be still and know who God is. Sit down, shut up, and pray. If you want to hear God's voice, the best thing you can do is stop talking and listen. Stop moving. Stop chasing after things. Sit down and listen for the voice of your Creator. And God might say something to you. And if not, maybe the anxiety will go down a little bit as you sit and dwell in the place of the Almighty. These are some of the tools that we have, that God has given us, so that we can know and love God more fully and more deeply. And here's the best part about it all. If you're genuinely seeking God's will, using any of these tools and trying to do your best, even when you fail and do something wrong, our God can redeem that. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, but you know what? The road to hell can even be redeemed by God, because Jesus walked that road. That's part of the Apostles' Creed that most churches don't say, right? He descended to hell, and on the third day rose again. There is no path you can walk that God cannot redeem. There is no mistake you can make that God cannot redeem. And you know what? The desire to please God pleases God. And so if we are trying to discern the will of God and taking steps out into the world to be the body of Christ, to follow Jesus, even when we end up going the wrong way, God's redeeming love can make something out of that. I read a book recently. It's called Rising Strong as a Spiritual Practice. Highly recommend it. By a woman named Brené Brown. And one of the things in that book that stands out to me in this is that Brené says, what if people are doing their best? What if everyone you meet is doing their best? Their best in the circumstances they're in, their best in the knowledge that they have, the best that they are capable of. And as I look at that and think about how we follow God and discern God's will, I want to tell you, I believe that you are doing your best. And if I continue to do my best, and we all continue to do our best at following God with what we have and what we know and what we think, then the world will be a better place. It won't be a perfect place, because none of us are going to follow it perfectly. None of us are Jesus yet. We all still have wills. We all still have that internal two-year-old. And sometimes we still get lost. But if we put these tools to practice, I think we can make a lot of headway in the right direction. Amen. If you're able to stand, I want to invite you to stand with me as we affirm the faith that's been passed down to us.